WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom. Or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Bushy blonde hairdo, serving USA.
Oh, it's going to be one of those nights. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is another week of wrestling news and reports and whatever else we want to talk about, like the screwed-up playlist that our producer likes to provide. This is the host, one of them anyway, the Omega, the be-all and all of this little network. The producer is now laughing in our Skype chat. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yeah, I'm here, but no. That just killed my leftover sanity. Thanks, Rock.
You can't have the Australian surfing USA. Doesn't work.
Exactly.
And also joining us tonight, we have with us the one and only Tim Stein.
Oh, hey, everybody. How you doing? I'll just let you know right now that Jack Arenda Rock decided to play that song. He's probably got some other water-related tunes tonight. It's directed not specifically just like at me, but at the city in which I live. The city of Calgary, of course, undergoing a massive, like we're talking flood of the millennium. Downtown core still flooded out. Water all over the place. It's just roads closed everywhere. There's only one road that was connecting South Calgary and North Calgary, which is a hell of a trip. Calgary being the largest area-wise city in North America. Yeah, I mean, it's stretched up. It's bigger than New York, Los Angeles, all these places that have like 3, 5, 7 million citizens in it. We're 1.2 million, but it's stretched out over such a long area. It takes forever on a normal day just to get from point A to point B. With this flood, it was even worse. And over 100,000 residents had been displaced. Fortunately, we only had 3 reported deaths due to the flooding. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. On a serious note, you know, kudos to everybody chipping in a hand and helping out with the cleanup and the disaster relief efforts. The Canadian Red Cross reported that over $2 million in funds for, you know, to help out had been raised in less than 48 hours.
That's great.
And then in a non-serious note, I bet the fishing just got a whole lot better.
Well, no, it's not the fishing. It's the surfing. We got people downtown with their boats, no word of a lie, guys standing inside a beer case, an empty beer case, surfing.
Yeah. The idiots come out to play when places get flooded.
Well, yeah, people were out to play in droves, and because there were, pretty much no fatalities in the city of Calgary reported at all, which is amazing. The three deaths were reported in the town of High River, 45 minutes south of here, where my mother lives. And Friday was a bit of a tense day for me until my mom called me from her sister's place in southwest Calgary to let me know that she'd been evacuated by 1 p.m. Friday afternoon, and she was safe, high, and dry. But
you should have told her to go surfing.
Well, she's 88 years old. Her surfing days are behind her. But she was talking
about... That would have made it all more awesome.
Yeah, no, she was talking about getting a wakeboard.
Sure, why not?
And I'm like, go for it, Mom. Take Norma with you. Norma, my aunt, her sister. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, Kyle Driver in the chat room, that's actually one of my professional wrestlers. It's literally, seriously, the city was divided in half, he's saying. The Saddle Dome here where the Calgary Flames play hockey, it was actually flooded up to the reports were between the 10th and 14th rows, right below the luxury suites. The entire Saddle Dome.
Of course, the luxury suites are safe, not the, the average person gets, try to watch hockey underwater, but no, you've got money, that's fine, you're safe.
Thank you, thank you for that, that was good. And you get 3 points, not two, but 3 points for that one, Mace, that was good. But, somebody posted on Facebook on my friends list that, the Calgary Flames need to hire a new Zamboni driver. This guy that they currently have is doing a really shitty job. Posted it with a picture of the water in the Saddle Dome. That was funny. So, yeah, that's the news. Stay tuned for the weather coming up on the ones.
That was the weather as well.
News and weather together right here on Calgary's home of the news, 66.
So does this mean that Canada's going to take up water polo?
Well, Canada does have a water polo team. Sucks ass, but the training facilities for most Olympic events. Yeah, most Olympic events, the training facilities are located in Calgary. This just might be another one. So, yeah, no, they train for water polo, the Olympic water polo, they train for that in Toronto. And that's fine with me. Toronto sucks anyway.
If you had 7 minutes into the show where he takes a shot at Canada, you win. Or Toronto, I should say.
Right. Whose bright idea was it to put up 10 take shot at Canada?
I meant Toronto, because, you do that all the time.
Well, Toronto sucks. It's not taking a shot at it. It's just telling you the truth. There's a difference.
And for the record, the theme is not about water.
Oh, it's not? Okay, so that was just coincidental then.
Uh-huh.
I'm really scared now. I'm worried I'm making...
It's only a coincidence that Rock made fun of the horrendous flooding.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun couple of weeks. I just, this is breaking news, and for those of you who do live in Calgary, we got a few people tuned in. Just so you know, Canadian All Pro Wrestling is scheduled to have its next event June 29th, Saturday, June 29th, at the Legion downtown on 7th Avenue. Now, I've been waiting to be able to make contact with anybody working at the Legion to find out how bad the damage was and if our ring was absolutely totally destroyed because of the flood. Well, as of now, tentatively, the show is still going on. The Legion was not flooded. Now, this is still tentative, and it's not confirmed. Those of you in the Calgary area who are listening and are wanting to go to the show, if the Legion has power and there's no problems, we are going to hold the show. And that's at the request of a lot of people who have asked me to please, if we can at all costs, actually keep the show going so people get a welcome break from all of the stuff that's coming up in the next week. It's going to be 28-hour days in the city. So.
And here it is. I was hoping that, there'd be enough of a pool built up that you could have a really good, Royal Rumble where you throw guys out into the water.
A water rumble, that might be interesting.
Yeah. Then you can have people recreate Kevin Nash doing a bomb into a pool.
Well, you know, we could always talk to the Calgary Zoo and set it up in the, right in the middle of the island in the Calgary Zoo. I mean, the only animals that weren't evacuated were the hippos, the gorillas, and the giraffes. The giraffes, because they got such long necks, you don't have to worry about them drowning. The hippos, it's their natural environment. They love swimming. And gorillas, well, they're just big fuckers. I'm not going near them myself to try to evacuate those guys. Just saying. So.
You know, if you actually could set up a ring with a giant pool surrounding it.
Uh-huh.
And then set up like little islands or flotation devices in the middle to give them hope. you might make a really interesting match.
Yeah, but could we spice it up by like putting, I don't know, barracuda or piranha in the pool?
I think that breaks some animal safety laws of some kind.
Aww. All I wanted was some frickin' sharks with frickin' laser beams on their frickin' heads.
You know, what we could do is just, like, put a bunch of pink dye in the water.
Okay.
Or it could be a pool of, like, tar, and we have someone ready to feather them as they get out.
Oh, God, that'd be interesting as hell. Well, definitely wouldn't be held at the Legion. No tar allowed inside the Legion anymore.
It'd have to be somewhere where there's a shower in very immediate distance.
Extremely close range, yeah. So, that'll be all fine and dandy, but enough about the problem.
You know, WCW would have done it back in the day.
Oh, they probably would have. I mean, you know, they did have that one water match that you brought up earlier, so. Or Kevin Nash going swimming or whatever it was.
Well, before we actually get into it, to our actual, you know, show portion of the show. You know,
the show portion.
In,
as opposed to the tell portion.
Well, considering I'm sitting here watching this right now, Mario Marathon, the quote-unquote official portion, has just wrapped up. They're running their credits right now. Sitting at close to $64,000 raised this year. But they're still accepting donations. They're still going to be playing. They haven't finished all the levels that have been paid for yet. So there's probably maybe another day's worth of the marathon still going.
Okay, do you get like any kind of a kickback or anything for all of these plugs for this Mario thing? Or are you just that much of a geek?
No, I just believe in a good cause.
Okay.
You know, charities and whatnot.
Well,
help the children's,
right.
Cause I used to be a children's once.
You were a children's once? No way.
I was, once upon a time. Don't tell anybody that.
I can't believe that.
Really, can I really?
He's lying.
So why don't we, just talk about Raw last week?
Yep, it was Raw last week.
He said to a, resounding, deafening silence. Did you guys think, do you think that this is probably, hands down, just about the best show WWE has delivered on a Monday night in years?
It was packed. They had a lot of stuff going on for a Monday Night Raw, especially by our standards that we've had this year.
Uh-huh.
Normally, you kind of, this feud just kind of goes on. They just kind of do this and that. It's just very, been there, done that, a whole lot of times. Here, they had a ton of things. Like every segment felt like it accomplished something.
And did any segments feel like they were there just for the sake of having airtime? Like a lot of Raw episodes recently, especially?
No, I didn't see Kali or Santina Marella.
So, yeah, okay, among others. So, yeah, no, I thoroughly enjoyed the program. And, of course, I think one of the highlights, one of many highlights, was the Academy Award nominated performance by one Mr. Mark Henry. How many people were sucked into that? Seriously, and don't lie. Oh, I knew it was coming, but it was still awesome when it happened. Internet wrestling community people are such the biggest goddamn liars on the planet. Be honest!
You want honesty?
I want honesty.
If Cena had left the ring, I wouldn't have been suspicious in the least.
Okay.
But the fact that he kind of stayed there and hung out and went, maybe, you know, Henry's doing a really good job. This sounds legit. This looks legit, but I can't get over the fact Cena's just kind of waiting.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've seen somebody hanging around while somebody else delivered a retirement speech. So as a result of that, I'm like, I'm still humming and hawing. I mean, in parts of the segment, I'm watching this and I'm like, holy shit, this is real. He's retiring. Well, thanks a lot, Mark. And then something would happen. I'm like, oh, it's a work. Oh, this is legit. No, it's a work. Oh, this is for real.
He played it off really well, mm-hmm. but at the same time, I'm like Omega. Cena standing there, it just sort of didn't help. Cena being there made me go, oh, here we go, here comes a swerve.
Well, for the more casual person who's not so damn smart about things, seriously, legitimately, he did make mention about, he started talking up Cena right near the beginning when Cena actually initially left the ring, and it looked like Cena was going to walk away. But it was almost like Mark Henry kept him there by talking to him and then talking him up.
Yeah, and that was the big thing, though. If Cena had left the ring, if it was just him on his own, then yes. Mm-hmm. 100% believable, but then there'd be no chance for the swerve.
Yeah.
So, he did very well in getting people to believe his words, and the camera crew did a very good job keeping the camera on him and not on, like, the wider aspect of the ring.
Yeah.
So they played it up like this was going to be 110% legit. And then you sort of start to see it near the end, and it's like, oh, okay, maybe he did it. And then when he hits, it's like, oh, great.
There's the world's strongest slam. Now, did anybody pop for that?
Yeah.
I actually groaned.
Yep, sure did.
I hate to admit, just because the speech was so well performed, it was such like an out of nowhere because they're going for a hug and just for a second it's like okay yeah, but it just flowed into that slam just so perfectly. It's just like okay, I was right in with it. If you listen to the crowd in Chicago, they weren't even mad. Mm-hmm. It's just like, okay, because it's a wrestling crowd, and I was kind of right in that mindset with them, going, fair game, Mark, you got me, good job.
Well, seeing that it was John Cena that he delivered the world's strongest slam to, can you blame the Chicago crowd for like, okay, well done?
Well, there's that too.
I mean, let's face it, he's the most hated babyface on the planet. Swear to God. So, but yeah, does anybody have a problem with Mark Henry going after John Cena for the WWE title?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it. Okay, you know what? This time we'll start with Mason and go to Omega. Go, Mace.
It's Mark Henry versus John Cena. We've seen this before. We've seen this happen, and it wasn't good. It's like, yeah, we've got this great start to it that really dragged people in. It's pretty much set the bar so high, you know for a fact Henry's not going to be able to keep us at that level. Neither is Cena. And by the time that they're going to move into what I'm assuming is probably going to be match two or out of three, we're going to be bored of it already. It's like, yeah, good on you, Mark. You've done really well with the promo. You suck us in. You deserve it. Then you sort of go, wait, it's Mark Henry. Ah, crap.
Well,
once the shock and awe wore off, it was just the realization of, we've been here before, and it's never been good.
Yeah. Okay, Omega?
It's Mark Henry and John Cena. I don't think there's any other way of explaining this.
Well, here, let me ask both of you guys. Is it better Mark Henry, John Cena, or John Cena Ryback?
Neither. They're both as bad as each other.
You're asking me to compare apples filled with shit with oranges filled with shit.
Yeah. And considering that the rumor for the longest time has been that they were looking to do John Cena versus Daniel Bryan, you know, something fresh, new, and interesting.
Great call.
And yet they've gone down the Mark Henry route. It's like, great. Like, I know they can reserve to do Bryan and Cena later, but it's like, okay. We were expecting something really, really good, and you gave us shit.
Well, to be fair,
trying to run Microsoft?
To be fair, that isn't the original plan, and we'll get to that later. Just suffice to say for now, this is a stall. This feels, even though this was well done, it feels last minute, because I don't think anyone backstage could go, you know, we got Money in the Bank coming up. Yeah, Cena versus, I don't know, Henry? Just, you know, it doesn't feel like anyone would have directly wanted that. You know, more or less, it's just, well, yeah, we got to do something here.
Okay, so, well, from what I can gather, this is actually just his filler feud until Daniel Bryan gets the big push, which was supposed to have started last Monday against Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm. Because when you need to get someone back into the top card, you job out Orton.
That's terrible. Hey, well, I didn't really quite catch everything that happened with Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, but I guess Daniel Bryan smacked his head and got a stinger or something like that, and they called the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks to the ringside doctor, who's quickly becoming a character and heel of his own.
There you go. Yeah, I can't remember what it was I was doing. I was busy doing something. But I came back and I saw Daniel Bryan sitting on the outside of the ring, and he had a dazed look on his face.
I didn't catch when exactly it happened, just that, yeah, he was rolled out to the ring, and it didn't look like a finish that they had intended to go with.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure myself, so. But I guess that is coming up after the next pay-per-view. They're going to wind up turning that up, and it's Daniel Bryan versus John Cena for the summer. Which is why they actually split up Team Hell No.
Everyone seemed to forget that Kane was in that team too. What the hell's he gonna do?
Feud with Randy Orton.
Whoopee.
Feud with Ryback.
Oh God.
Let's see, who else? Feud with Dean Ambrose.
See, that's the weird thing about how they're treating the Shield, is that they always seem to feud with one guy who puts up a team of three, and then they just kind of cycle around. It's like one guy sticks up. It's like, I don't know, trying to find all the pieces of the puzzle. It was like, this guy will stay here, and then two more, and then two of those will drop off, but one guy will stay, and he'll bring on two more, and I don't know, it's weird how that works, so maybe. Okay. If you could actually find a team that would actually go up against, that would actually team up with Kane against them.
Well, look at the current Raw roster, like, you know, look at the current roster, period. Who could you team up with Kane right at this point in time where they could have several feuds with Shield?
the hard part is the rumor that they want to do is they want to push the Usos back into the tag title picture.
The Usos, ooh.
Which I have nothing against, because fucking hell, they need to push some tag teams already.
Mm-hmm. Kind of harsh. It's about time they got that figured out. What they got to do is quit breaking up good tag teams when they debut. I'm just wondering how long before they decide to do something and rip apart Shield.
Probably
a long time off yet.
Yeah, the Shield's working too well.
Because come on, you've got the 3-on-3 feud that's going to be coming up eventually as the Wyatt's debut.
Mm-hmm.
That's all heel, though.
Who cares? Hey, they like to change people on a whim. You know, all of a sudden, yeah, you're going to work heel. You're going to be face. Go for it. But
why?
Opposite. Why? Because we told you to. Do it. Okay?
There you go. Yeah, well... Who knows about their logic and reasoning and stuff?
Yeah, sorry, I haven't taken enough blows to head to be a WWE writer.
Yeah, we'll be talking about WWE writers in a bit coming up, but taking a look at the rest of everything that we saw go down Monday night, it looks like Del Rio is pretty much full on heel, and they are doing what they can to turn Dolph Ziggler face. Now, turning Dolph Ziggler into a good guy, we've been talking about that since, what, October last year, because he was getting so over with the crowd, and they took this long for it to happen.
Yeah, part of that was just... Go ahead.
Well, you got to remember, how long has he been out with various injuries as well?
Well, a lot of it wasn't injury. You know, he had the concussion that put him out for 5 weeks, but before that, it was how long they were stalling on his Money in the Bank cash-in. Because they put him on this, they intentionally put him on this losing streak so he would have, so he'd look like a weak champion that had to fight to hold on to the belt. And he had a lineup of guys who said, hey, I just beat him, I want a title shot. You know, so that was like their long-term plan, and then, you know, Jack Swagger kicks him in the fucking head. I think, by the way, we are up to like 20 Del Rio kicks to the same head without injury. Good job, Jackie.
Somebody's keeping track of that?
It amuses me, because Jack Swagger throws one kick and puts him out for 5 weeks and ruins his title push. Del Rio kicks him routinely and doesn't hurt a thing.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
No, but it's kind of a way of backfiring, is that they set him up to do this specific thing and then they couldn't roll with it. So, yeah, the plans just kind of go off the track. This was leading to something. I forget what it is.
I can't remember, God damn it.
I don't know. Screw it. Show's over. We have no idea what we're doing anymore.
That's it. We're done. Okay, smoke him if you got him.
Fuck you, we're Spider-Man.
There you go. So, does anybody care about Del Rio being the bad guy again?
I don't care about Del Rio, period.
Yeah. What do you think? Sorry, you're loving the idea of Ziggler being the good guy now.
Well, here's the thing.
Well, you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, not really. All he does is run in a few times. Here's the thing, though. You know, look at how much Ziggler was already over. You know, turning him face is as simple as saying, you have permission to cheer him now. You know, he was already getting a face reaction. The crowd was already red hot for the guy to win the world title. And, you know, now that he's going to be chasing it, you know, he's, you know, all the more reason to get behind him.
Mm-hmm.
It should tell this really good story. You know, Del Rio works better as a heel. mean, I like that he tried something with a face run. He had me for a while, and then he became dull as fuck. So, you know what? Yeah, he works better as a heel. Good to put him back there. Ziggler, first time as a face, and the crowds are red hot for him to be one. So, you know, by the time this is over, you've got Ziggler, who took advantage of an injury to win. Del Rio, who took advantage of an injury to win. And now you get the rise and redemption for Ziggler, because presumably he'll win the title back cleanly this time.
Okay. Well, you know, stop and think about it. AJ Lee and Big E Langston are still bad guys. What are they going to do as far as Dolph Ziggler?
Langston, you split off. Let him do his own thing. AJ, the woman's already a psychopath.
Yeah.
You just split personality her. You know, make it a thing for the Divas title. When she doesn't have the belt, she's rainbow and sunshines and all over Dolph. And as soon as she's got that belt around her, she's twisted and demented.
Little Miss Vicious Vixen. As it were.
Well, scheming and conniving like we saw. Like we saw her do to Caitlyn. But if she's, you know, if that belt's not around her, yeah, she's bubbly Skippy. Like, you know, the AJ that we usually get.
I think more AJ's attitude and sort of what's going to probably end up being an obsession over the title could split her away from Dolph.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and basically she can be blamed as the influence of why he failed and why he couldn't get where he wants to be and all that type of stuff, because she's obsessing more over the fact that she's got a belt and he doesn't.
So,
you know, it's going to become more about her being a champion than their relationship. And, you know, in a face style move, you could see Ziggler going, well, piss off, bitch.
Yeah, or AJ doing what she's done with, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, John Ziggler, John Cena. John Cena. Dolph Cena. There you go. Dolph Cena.
We're going to see Ziggler have the belt and then lose it in 18 seconds?
Interesting. Bret Michaels. Yeah, there you go. But, talking about before you guys derailed my train of thought? AJ Lee just pulling, you know, the typical AJ Lee thing. And, this time, Ziggler's not good enough to be her boyfriend, because he doesn't have the title anymore, and she's got the title, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it also could happen. But then again, you know, anything can happen with that little screwball.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is true. But on that note, what do you think that we take our first time out of the evening here? And come back on the other side of this break with more talk about WWE and snorkeling. We'll be back right after this. Yeah, why not?
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers.
We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the War Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just got across a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather of the Supreme dies. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking. Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway! Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 to my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7. Fuck, this fucking better be open. I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway. They're not open. What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open? Hell yeah. Oh my god. Alright. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green, no one's coming, no one's turning, and I gotta go. That's I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
No, no, no.
Damn, man. Somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday, you can't buy beer. Wait a minute, what time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... I'm about to get plowed by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. God, man, I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. But who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand!
Then you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really move him. I said chill.
Oh my god, what the hell, Rock? seriously, what the hell? What's with the music?
The producer is on crack.
I feel like we should be bringing this back with Welcome to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
That was funny.
I'm not poking fun. I'm just making an observation about how this sounds like a playlist from Tuesday nights.
If you really want a playlist from Tuesday nights, I can give you the playlist from Tuesday nights.
No.
Just pointing that out.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song was from the 70s, which, like, everybody, let's face it, the 70s were a collective hangover from the 60s, which, if anybody tells you they remember, was not there to begin with.
Then what's the excuse for the 80s?
I don't know. I have no answer for the 80s. I was too busy doing things. Mm-hmm. They're like, what the fuck was he doing? Never mind. Just never mind. That's all. So why don't we talk about the end of Raw last Monday night? CM Punk comes
out. You mean the part where the logo comes up and they fade to black? That's always the best part of Raw every week.
No. Before that, dude, come on, play along.
You wanted to talk about the end of Raw. Raw ends with the logo coming up and then them fading to black. That's the end of Raw.
Smartass. Anyway, yeah. The main event, CM Punk fights Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio takes a hike, takes a powder, whatever you want to call it, and then he gets attacked by Dolph Ziggler and gets all these shots. And then out comes Brock Lesnar, and they get into the ring, and he's looking at CM Punk, and next thing you know, he F5s him. So that's the latest feud, I guess. CM Punk versus Brock Lesnar, because Paul Heyman doesn't like being told that he's just a friend and not his agent or whatever.
You know, if he actually was like his agent in a client situation, I think if they were just friends, the lack of a paycheck might tip Heyman off.
Yeah, it's one of these things of, yeah, no paycheck. Well, okay. So how would it even work? I don't know. It's Paul Heyman, so do you even give him a check? He wouldn't know what to do with it besides bounce it.
Well, yeah, you just make sure that the check is NSF when you give it to him.
Probably get paid in cash to avoid taxes.
Well, he probably demands cash payment just for that reason. At least one for, you know, just one reason out of who knows how many. But you guys looking forward to this feud, Lesnar Punk? Is that going to be good, or is that just going to be typical, Brock smash, boom, done?
Oh, no, it's going to be interesting because there will be Brock smash,
mm-hmm.
But there's also CM Punk can wrestle, bitch.
Yeah, this is true.
you try smash, I try break your arm.
Yeah, I have seen on Facebook a few different, memes set up. One of the best one I have seen was because especially with his sideburns and shit that he's growing out with his hair the way it is, they have him all dressed up as Wolverine, and of course Brock is the Hulk, so we got Wolverine versus the Hulk.
Yeah, and Wolverine's beating the Hulk.
Yeah, coincidence?
At this stage, yes.
But a kind of serendipitous one, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, comic books have proven that brute strength is no match for mutton chops.
There you go. Mutton chops rule, dude. By the way, that reminds me, what did you guys think of X-Men Origins Wolverine?
I watched a leaked copy.
Yeah.
Where the special effects weren't done, and every now and then during a stunt, Wolverine would turn into a featureless silver man.
Yeah.
So it was hysterical.
and things that were there just weren't there. So, and all of a sudden, this put the entire world turned into this mesh of like green banners and crash pads.
I finally saw the movie the other night, and I was just wondering what you guys thought of it.
If you can still find the work print version, it just makes the entire film 10 times more hilarious.
Yeah, it's about the only enjoyment you're going to get out of it, especially if you're a Deadpool fan.
Yeah.
Thank God we have a decent game coming out.
There you go. Decent games are a must.
I get to go and get it, I think. It's either tomorrow or Wednesday.
Ooh. Well, then you should play it on JTV and so everybody can see what the game's all about.
I would, except there's this little issue about my internet being crap at the moment.
Oh, well, crappy internet is very detrimental to being able to do that properly.
No, I shall explain off air.
Okay. No worries. So, yeah, there it is. I guess, you know, naturally he puts this in the notes. Who do you see playing which role? Naturally, it's going to be everybody's cheering CM Punk and booing Brock Lesnar, right?
I think it's more along the lines of the question being, who else do you want to see? Or, like, are we going to see a lot more of Brock Lesnar? Obviously not. We're going to get a lot of Heyman having a go at Punk. That's going to be the whole lead-up, with Brock doing a few run-ins every now and again. But do we bring in other guys? Do we bring in Curtis Axel?
Why?
Maybe. I don't know, because he's a Paul Heyman guy.
Okay.
Again,
because that's what they're
going to
do,
damn it. No logic this company makes none.
Yeah, logic, fuck that. What is that? Vulcan the Saint.
But, you know, you understand that, like, it's not going to be straight up Brock versus Punk.
Yeah.
Because, as everybody knows, Brock's nice little contract that he has says Brock will only work X amount of dates unless you pay him more money.
There you go. Yeah, Brock only fights when he's paid to fight, which is more truth than storyline.
You know who should play a part in the feud?
Who? Tell us.
Shield.
Ooh,
I would love for them to turn the same thing Punk was doing for so long against him.
Interesting.
You could play the exact same storyline. Is Heyman hiring the Shield? Is he, you know, is Brock hiring them? You know, who is trying to sabotage Punk with them?
Well, yeah, but if you do that, how many people are going to bitch and complain, oh, you guys did this last year? Seriously.
It's not a conspiracy to keep a title, though. The question is Heyman still loyal to Punk or not?
Mm-hmm.
You play that up with the attacks. You make it the question. Who hired them this time? Was it Brock or was it Heyman?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not going to disagree with you. I just, I'm anticipating the flood of people bitching and complaining about it. That's all. But I don't think it's a bad idea, Omega. I think you might have something there.
I'm waiting until after Money in the Bank when everybody's going to go, oh, Rob Van Dam should be a Paul Heyman guy and go up against CM Punk. No. You leave that one till after SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah. That's like the next big feud.
Yeah. You don't try and put that as like a segue into Punk versus Brock.
Yeah. Because Van Dam coming back, massive, huge pop. You're not going to get away from it. There's no way of getting, so you've got to let them ride that fan appreciation wave before you do anything to turn them.
We were making fun of that Payback because, you know, the guy who got the biggest pop is the guy who wasn't there that night.
Yeah. True.
I mean, it's a wrestling crowd. Ziggler is in his first match back, winning the world title. And guess what?
crowds chanting RVD during his match.
Yeah, that's gotta hurt.
Yeah, really. I just came back from injury.
Come on, guys, I'm wrestling here. Yeah, well, RVD, buddy. I'm glad you're okay. RVD!
I thought it was very, very offensive for the entire crowd in Chicago to constantly be pointing at their heads the whole time during the match.
What, you couldn't figure out what they were doing? They were saying, "We want the cup!" No, anyway. That was a little inside thing for Rock, which I know he's rolling his eyes at. But anyway. You brought up, you know, Paul Heyman in a battle of wits against CM Punk. This has got to be something that I'm looking forward to as far as lead-ups to feuds go. This is going to have to be something that's just absolutely incredibly good. These two guys, Heyman, his typical slimy self, portraying the friend. Hey, it's not me. It's Brock Lesnar. He wanted to do this. I told him don't, but I couldn't stop him. You saw how big he is.
You know, he does what he wants to do. I can't control him.
Exactly. Can you see it going that direction?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a whole bunch of animosity between the two in the form of very, very tense cordiality. Ooh, there's a word. Cordiality. Write it down. But are you guys with me on this? Are you looking forward to this build-up, like this interaction between the two of them before the match actually takes place?
The build-up's going to be good. Sure, I'm not exactly going to sit there and like praise it as like, oh my god, this is going to be the most awesome feud of all time, but it's going to be something that's really going to make SummerSlam worth watching.
I just get the feeling that there are going to be a few people, myself included, that are going to be winding up saying, that was the build-up of all build-ups! And, like, they're going to praise the interaction between the two of them and just totally blow off the match itself.
Nah.
I'm not anticipating absolutely huge from this match when it finally takes place. The saving grace is CM Punk and his ability to actually carry pretty much everybody, including a broomstick, in that ring. I think it'll probably make Brock look better than Brock has looked since Brock came back.
I can hope. Can hope. Everyone's internet die, or are we just that excited?
I think we're just that excited.
Yeah, well, that's my point. We spent more time talking about the interaction between Heyman and Punk than the actual anticipation of the match. Because there isn't it.
But this is the thing. This isn't exactly Punk versus Brock. It's going to be Heyman versus Punk.
Yeah.
It just so happens that the end result is Brock Lesnar being the actual person who can wrestle who gets in the ring with Punk at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. So that's you know, we're getting the payoff before the blow off, which is that's not the usual thing, but that's, you know,
this is what happens when you sign a guy to a limited deal who'll only do, you know, 2 matches a year for $5 million.
Yeah, that's just sucky.
Great investment, Vince.
Good job, kiddo. Good job. Anyway, yeah. So, moving on now, let's talk a little bit about Stephanie McMahon. Apparently she made her presence known Monday night, and how did that go?
She got outshone by AJ Lee. I could watch a clip of that high boss lady bit for like days on end and laugh my ass off every time.
So you figure that AJ actually got the best of that,
She got the best of that exchange, well and truly.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with you on that one. It was entertaining. And did Stephanie coming back, grabbing the mic in front of the crowd, stepping into the ring and going back and forth with AJ, did that serve any useful purpose? Was it entertaining? Was it good? Were you happy to see Steph back? What?
Part of me is like, oh God, we're gonna have more McMahon family bullshit on television. It's like they're a fucking plague. They're a virus, man. You know, the second they start infecting something, they spread, and just keeps going. Like, you know, Steph couldn't just try and be some sort of mediator between this thing between her husband and her father. No, she has to interject herself into the divas bullshit, which means I've got this bad feeling down the track. Vicky's out, Steph's in.
And you don't like that idea?
No.
Because she's...
I really don't like McMahon's on television.
Okay.
Period. Because when they're on television, the show revolves around them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, okay, this goes a bit to my beliefs on wrestling. Those who are booking the shows should never be on the shows. Would you agree, Tim?
For the most part, yeah. And when I say for the most part, I agree with you. I'm not saying that there's one or two exceptions where they shouldn't be. The best place for the booker to be is at ringside. Because he can help move the story along just by commentating.
Yeah, if they want to be commentary, that's fine. Actually, believe it or not, I actually miss McMahon on commentary. But I don't want to see Steph as a character, especially a character that's going to be lording over everything, because she has done nothing in the time that she's been in control except be a bitch.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, yeah, I'm seeing bitchy Stephanie.
Yeah.
You know, little miss fucking princess.
Little spoiled,
you know,
brat.
I'm in control because I have, you know, X amount of the company that I keep selling off to pay for shit. You know, if they're coming out, let them be in an official capacity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let them come out and say, you know, Vince coming out every now and again saying, you know, I'm the guy who's running the company. This big decision needs to be made. I'm making it. Boom. Do it. Get the fuck off television. No, they hang around like a bad smell.
Yeah.
And the more of the show just revolves around them and revolves around them and revolves around them.
Well, definitely can't disagree with you on anything you're saying here, so.
Yeah.
So let's go to Omega to, like, debate with you on this one. I heard the chuckle.
Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, you don't really have a counter argument against what Mesa said, do you, Omega?
I like what they're doing with her.
Okay.
Let's face it. Vince is old.
No.
I'm sorry to break it to you.
Damn.
It's true. And every year Triple H gets a little bit more power, a little bit more authority. Vince takes a little bit more backseat, a little bit more backseat. It's not going to be that long before he's a non-factor.
And Triple H will actually pool his savings and buy the company and then gamble and put a great big wrestling show on Closed Circuit TV?
Not quite.
Yeah, whoa, deja vu.
Here's the thing. It is the WWE landscape.
Mm-hmm.
In this world, in between those ropes, the name that will always command the most authority is McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get away from that. You can't say, oh, I'm the husband. It doesn't work. It has to be a McMahon. Now, if it's going to be Stephanie, and the other trick to this is apparently mandated by the USA Network that wants more McMahons on TV.
I don't know why the USA Network would do that, but keep going.
They need to reestablish Stephanie as someone who can come out there, be an authority figure, and be the necessary evil
mm-hmm.
that Vince McMahon has served for, you know, umpteen years at this point. And they need to start establishing it now, while Vince still has some presence, while he can still, you know, make it to Raw, while he still has, you know, what we know of Vince in him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, supposedly the idea is that they are going to, at least on camera, take Vince's power away from him and basically neuter him as a character.
They've kind of tried to do that a couple of times in the past.
This is true.
But they've never stuck with it.
Well, they're going to have to at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to need another McMahon to step in, and there's no Shane, so it's not going to be him.
True.
So, you know what? Stephanie has always been the on-camera heel. And if, you know, if that necessary evil is always going to have to be there in the WWE. And Stephanie is the logical choice to go with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, let her work now. Let her get it out of the way now while she has someone like AJ Lee to play off of who can match her and, mm-hmm. if need be, top her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually, you know, that way she has a good foil to work off of and rebuild her character with.
Well, you know, this may just be me, but watching the two of them going back and forth against each other on the mic, it just, and you know, Stephanie talking from experience, girl, I've been there, I've done that, you're not doing anything new. I'm like, yeah, you tell her. AJ, it's the same old song and dance I've heard for 20 freaking years. I mean, like, be original. So, I don't know, is that just me or what?
I'm just sitting here waiting for the time where Stephanie turns around and goes, you know what? I'm going to kick your ass in the ring, and I'm just going to sit back and go, oh, fuck off.
Yeah, but would you say, oh, fuck off if AJ kicks her ass?
I don't know, because to be honest, I wouldn't watch it.
Steph never had delusions of being a wrestler, though.
No.
You know, Shane kind of did, but not Steph.
Neither Vince, but it's not stopping him getting in the ring.
Oh, no. Vince, I perfectly believe he did.
No, Vince wanted to be a wrestler. His dad wouldn't let him. Call all wrestlers assholes, and don't you ever think that you're going to be one of those assholes.
I'm just not a fan of McMahon's on television. Mm. It's just me. If you're enjoying it, more power to you.
Yeah, well, no, I can.
Time to go take a shit.
There you go. No, I get exactly where you're coming from, Mace. And, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say I like him or I hate him. I'm gonna hope that they deliver something that's entertaining and watchable. But at the same time, I'm not gonna hold my breath for it. And the reason I'm not holding my breath is pretty much, most of the stuff that you talked about with the McMahons on TV, everything's gotta freaking revolve around them and it gets to be too much. I thoroughly agree with that. What about you, Omega? Aside from the fact that you're enjoying the current thing that's going on.
They really haven't been around all that much. You know, it's not like the Attitude Era where Vince is a main character that's on TV every single week. We barely see McMahons anymore.
Okay.
You know, this is like the storyline with Triple H is like the first time we've consistently seen McMahons in months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if any time this year. So, you know, I'm sorry. I mean, I'm just going to be repeating myself. You know, WWE is always going to be about a McMahon. You know, that is just the fact of nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfectly understandable. And this is just a case of, you know, person A is enjoying something where person B is like, you know, I'd enjoy it more if it wasn't on my TV. And it's just a simple case of both you guys are your own person. That's all it is. So, and that's a good thing, by the way.
I'll put it this way. At least they're doing something with the fucking divas.
Yeah. This is true. They're actually doing something aside from having wardrobe malfunctions. Everybody, we're going to take our second time out of the evening. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night. Let's talk right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back. Don't go nowhere, because that would be dumb.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And now, haiku time, with René Dasodai and Some Dumb As You Get.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio, home of Cheap Heat Radio, inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of Guy Talking, standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show, now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. 'Cause what else is on?
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you...
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE Superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
There she was, just a walking down the street singing.
Do what did it done, did it do?
Snapping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing.
Do what did it done, did it do?
She looked good,
looked good.
She looked fine.
Looked fine.
She looked good, she looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking.
Oh my God. Well, the hits just keep getting better and better right here on the Mighty WTR. Thanks for joining in. More 50s music-free commercial cruise coming up right after these messages. What the fuck is it with the music? Seriously. Honest to God.
You're not a fan, Tim?
No.
Okay.
You expect me to be a fan?
No, just paying for different music, that's all.
I see.
And yes, Tim just went wacky FM DJ.
Yeah, I did. Just temporarily. So, anyway, what the fuck? Moving on. Talking about last Monday night's Raw being really, really good. And Raw lately being hit or miss. Some episodes good, some are less good. But are you noticing the changes in creative with each episode that comes and goes?
Huh?
Or would you say it's kind of hard to tell? It just feels like it, you know, it's hit and miss. Sometimes they got it right and sometimes they don't.
Well, it's hit and miss. I mean, Monday Night Raw was probably, yeah, it's probably one of the better ones they had where, you know, every segment felt like they did something meaningful. But, you know, I can't tell you what happened on the Raw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Was there a Raw 2 weeks ago?
Supposedly.
I don't remember. I really don't remember. So, yeah, they've made a whole ton of changes in the back over the last several months. I mean, the creative team, they've had head writers come and go. One guy lasted like, 2 weeks before he buggered off and went back to Hollyweird? And the problem is, and we mentioned this like a few years ago when we discovered that they were starting to advertise in the trades for somebody with experience writing Hollywood or you know, writing TV shows and soap operas and stuff like that, that none of these people know wrestling. Where is that going to lead? Are they finally realizing this and they, oh, we better get somebody who knows what the hell they're doing? Again.
Not really. I'd say, if anything, it's more, at least over the last few weeks when a lot of these guys have been taking off, the big thing that you notice has been McMahon has had his hand in a lot more of it, which means more rewrites leading up to and into the show.
So, well, here's the, you know, the paradox and the conundrum question. Is McMahon, the McMahon family, actually having more of a hand rewriting shows, making changes and alterations? Is this a good thing for the programming? Is what we're saying that's good the result of them, or the result of them not touching it?
It's really hard to say when we don't know what they touched and what they haven't.
Yeah, it's really difficult to be able to pinpoint that, isn't it? That's the big speculation. It's like, well, is this in here because of the McMahons, or because they didn't touch it?
All we get are little snippets of what was someone else's idea. I mean, you look at Bray Wyatt coming in and the reaction the promos have gotten, how much people are looking forward to seeing him on the roster. Well, that's Dusty Rhodes' idea.
Okay.
Yeah, we found out that was his idea, that was his character concept. Okay, so there, you know, there's one of your big things. No one touched that. You know, CM Punk just has done his own thing for the last year.
Pretty
really
much
touch that. You know, it's the big and the exciting things and the people that buzz a lot about, really are the results of either the character doing their own thing or someone who knows wrestling deciding, you know, what the character is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. Wrestlers know what works in the wrestling business.
Wow. That's a freaky deaky thing, isn't it? So, yeah, reports have the latest head writer leaving after SummerSlam. And nobody can say whether or not this is a good thing. Because let's face it, according to reports, shows are rewritten literally 5 minutes before airtime in some cases. Thanks to Vince and or Stephanie, or both of them. What can you do?
No idea. Yeah. All I know is I'm not applying for the job.
Well, unlike some people we know, you're pretty smart, Mace.
Nah, not in the slightest.
Just saying. Or have known or whatever. Anyway,
you wouldn't be
on.
The worst huh? person from this network to try out.
No, past or present, right, Omega?
Pretty much.
Yeah, not that I'm like singling anybody out or anything.
Thundercunt.
You're supposed to like make it sound like you're clearing your throat when you do that.
Oh, fair. Thundercunt.
Well, actually, right? Thundercunt.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. So why don't we turn to your boyfriend Omega, talk about the re-debut of the whole fucking show himself.
Just
Rob
my boyfriend with just good friends.
Okay. Right. Anyway, yeah. So, what? Talk about him showing up in WWE at the pay-per-view Money in the Bank. How are you going to handle the return?
With a box of Kleenex.
TMI, Omega. Way TMI.
You started it.
Well, I'm just saying. You don't have to go into detail. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
If you were working for WWE, how would you have him re-debut? Sorry to take fun out of it.
Well, Money in the... Let's see, it's easy to put him in the Money in the Bank. Of course, it's... Now that I think of it, putting him in as like the final entry for Money in the Bank this year, it's a pretty easy and obvious place to put him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if it's the best, because it really depends on what they want to do with the guy. You know, because they know how over he is. Like, they approached him.
Yep.
So they know he's still a good worker. He's still over as hell. It's at a time when the talent pool is still thin, so they do need the boost.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to say, you know, whether you just bring him back to do some really strong feuds. There's so many on the roster right now he could have incredible matches with. Or if they actually are going to, make a title contender out of him.
Well, would you make a title contender out of him, keeping in mind that he's going to be working a very limited schedule?
The Rock.
Okay.
And that's my only argument against it.
Well, my devil's advocate question for you, is he as quote-unquote as big as The Rock to be able to do something like that?
No, but he will be working more dates than The Rock. He is scheduled for some live events and television tapings.
Okay.
So it is a lighter schedule compared to most on the roster, but it is not, The Rock's schedule. And, mm-hmm. they still made a title contender out of The Rock. He's going to be around. He could be a title contender, no doubt.
Okay.
The difference is, how would you work him? Like, do you do the obvious thing and have him be a Heyman guy? Or mm-hmm. do you have him do his own thing? Because last time he was around Paul Heyman, Heyman cost him the ECW championship.
Yeah. Do you play on that or figure that everybody's forgotten about that?
I'm not sure if you play... You know, I would make it a little bit more ambiguous. I'd say, you know, last time I was around you, things didn't turn out so well for me. Hint at it, but don't focus on it because, you know, that was kind of his little career downfall.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, what eventually resulted in him losing both championships. God, this is hard. See, because there's the fanboy in me that wants him to be feuding, you know, as a face. You know, and you have to for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I think best thing you could do with him is, have him re-debut in the Money in the Bank ladder match, because it gives him a chance to do his hype line, gives him a chance to show off his spots, and it makes him a really strong contender to take the briefcase. I wouldn't give him the briefcase.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Do you give Van Damme the briefcase, or you just let him go out there and get the pop for re-debuting and then wind up not winning?
No, I would make him like the number two to whoever would win it, and it really depends on who they're going to put in that match, because there's talk of putting Ziggler in there. You've got the chance of putting they want to put Daniel Bryan in there, because they got the, you know, because that's the nice thing. That's the nice thing about Money in the Bank. It lets you instantly create a feud, which, you know, I am not really for. But if it creates a really good and unique matchup we haven't gotten before, I will go with it.
Okay.
And since they're talking, since most everyone who they've handed, well, we're going to put it on him, they're all faces, so they're not going to spring it on you and go, well, you know, you just got out of this match, you're bleeding from the head, and both of your legs are broken. I think this is a good time.
There you go. Somebody wants to chime in here.
Yes, I have a little quick little point to add to Omega's topic. The commercial for Money in the Bank was new this week. Mm-hmm. It said Mark Henry reversed John Cena.
Yeah.
And then said for Money in the Bank, you have the likes of CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, The Shield, and others. And then they promoted Rob Van Dam, which kind of made it sound like he's not in that match.
That's the trick. I don't know
which
what
is
you.
It's a goddamn shame.
Yeah.
Because I'll be honest. If you're going to have Van Damme come back with, like, the only build up you're going to have for him is all these little promo packages and whatnot that they've been doing, put him in Money in the Bank. Put him in there and let him show off. And then build something from there.
Yeah,
because I could see him coming into Money in the Bank, stealing the show, reclaiming his mantle of Mr. Pay-Per-View. He comes out and he gloats. I'm Mr. Pay-Per-View. I'm Mr. Monday Night. Cue Punk. And then start building that over time.
I wouldn't give Punk too much to do.
Yeah, true. That's the issue with the whole Brock thing at SummerSlam, is it kills the idea of a really good feud between Punk and Van Damme.
Well, I would carry RVD as a face until SummerSlam. Until the Monday Night Raw after, where, you know, you do have him as like Heyman versus Punk round two. And you build up to that match instead with RVD playing as the heel. Because you need enough time for him to wrestle all the heels that he'd work really well with. I'm looking at Dean Ambrose. I'm looking at oh, God, they're all faces now. We flip-flop so many of them.
Okay. How would you feel if this scenario played out?
Mm-hmm.
Van Damme returns in the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah.
Wind turns around and goes, Cena, I did it once. I can do it again. I want you at SummerSlam. And you have a face versus face.
See, that's hard because we know that's exactly what they want to do with Brian. I would love for him to do it. I don't think it turned out well for him.
So, all right, let's sort of switch this around then. have WWE screwed this up by not sort of giving any indication on that they could take things in X direction?
How is that messing it up? I mean, here we are guessing he could go a thousand different ways.
Yeah, but
it's unpredictability in the WWE. It's what we want. It's what we always want out of them.
True, but every single way it's been, oh, wait, we can't do that because they've already gone ahead to do this. You know, that's the thing that's stopping, well, pretty much both of us at this point in time, working out a good direction for Van Damme from the debut, is because everybody else that we really would love to see him go up against is either a face or they're booked up till, you know, SummerSlam.
The trick is, I would give him something to do until SummerSlam.
I'd say probably feed him Ambrose. That's the only thing I can think of, because then you have Van Damme versus The Shield, which could be interesting, because he could probably pull off some really good matches with at least Rollins and Ambrose.
If you have The Shield kind of, you know, if...
Have The Shield take him out of Money in the Bank.
That's what I was thinking. Feed him someone like Sandow that's really good at riling up the crowd and then taking a beating immediately after. And have him re-debut during, you know, a Sandow promo. Let him get in some spin kicks. Let him get in the mule kick he does. Five-star frog splash. You know, it's a big celebratory return thing, and then The Shield hits.
Why can I see Sandow cutting one of his obnoxious, you know, $10 university word or $10 college word promos, and Van Damme just walks out and going, dude, just chill. You're a bit too uptight, man. sorry, that was the first thing that popped into my head when you said Sandow. I'm like, oh my god, that promo would be fucking awesome.
I'm just thinking entirely that an entire program between those two would be absolutely awesome. Just to give Van Damme a start back in for a few.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'd be an awesome feud to go with. It's not a bad choice. I'm looking through the roster right now.
Can't be any worse than Sandow and Sheamus.
Oh god. Oh god. See, I'm looking through the list right now. You know, who is, you know, what is a good feud? You know, and the Shield. You know, Shield's not. You know, while he's a face, The Shield's not a bad one. Sandow's okay. The thing is, I mean, it's RVD. Like, even when he came in as a heel during the Alliance, you couldn't get a crowd to boo him. He couldn't buy heat back then. So how the hell would you even play him as a heel now?
You won't be able to. He's one of these very, very few guys in wrestling who it would take something monumental to get a heel reaction for.
I've got the perfect way to debut Rob Van Dam. Yeah, Money in the Bank.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, backstage smoking a doobie with Saber.
No, you're only half right. Backstage, walking towards the ring, he walks by Ryback, stops, looks, hey dude, cool singlet, keeps going.
Gee, I swear I heard that before. Oh, wait, that was me last week.
There you go.
Jeez. Like, God, what if you fed him to Ryback just to kind of put him over as a contender?
The Battle of the Singlet?
Yeah. RVD is like such the mellow, laid-back guy. I could totally see the fact that he came back just because someone was copying his look.
yeah. just picturing that as the whole basis for a fucking feud with Ryback.
And there's the thing, it's RVD, it's his return feud, he'd go over based on that. I kind of love that. It won't happen.
Well, find out at Money in the Bank if this is wishful thinking or not.
But god damn it, I'd be entertained.
It would be quite entertaining, yeah, but, you know, it would be something I'm famous for, which is the total non-fucking sequitur. Or infamous for, whatever. So, bottom line is...
I was thinking, like, if we can't sort of get anything, but then again, it's two faces going against each other, have Van Damme and Christian. Have them either team up or go against each other so both guys can sort of build off each other. But again, it's two faces, so it's like, eh.
Well, you know, Christian's not going to last as a face before he turns heel. Maybe putting those two together would be the turn for Christian.
Eh, possible. But then again, I want to see Christian actually make it a month on TV.
That would be good, I guess. Just be a good guy for a month before you go badass heel. Come on, Christian, you can do it. You can do it. Damn. 3 weeks.
Yeah, that'd be like saying, hey, Rey Mysterio, can you go without blowing your knee? No, you blew it already? Oh, sorry.
That's like saying, or Sin Cara, can you actually get through this entire match? Well, fucking up.
God, Sin Cara would botch it telling you he'll do his best.
He screwed that up, wouldn't he?
Well, apparently he screwed up how to be a lumberjack. I still need to go back and watch that.
Why? What did he do? What did I miss?
He fell down too late when Cena did the dive.
Oh, fuck. What? Why are you guys down on ground? Oh, shit, I forgot.
Where did you get that accent?
I don't know. It just all of a sudden became Slovak for some goddamn reason. Sin Cara's a fake. He's not really Mexican, man. He's from...
He's Borat.
He's like, yeah, he's Borat, yeah. He's from Ukraine or whatever. Kazakhstan or Uzbekistan or whatever the fuck they call it. Bochistan, that's where he's from.
See, that's the thing. There's the thing. Sin Cara is not botching accidentally. It's all part of the gimmick.
That's a scary thought. All right, I want you to go out there, and whatever happens, fuck up at the five-minute mark. Right. All right. Well, you know, it's this point in time where we're supposed to talk about the round table, but, Rock, really? Really?
You wanted it. That's what you said when I said, what do you want to do for the show, Tim?
When are you going to figure out, like, you know, like, I don't know, sarcasm or whatever the fuck you want to call it when you hear it or read it?
You know, your sarcasm really doesn't translate on Skype.
All right. Well, tonight's round table, everybody, is Caitlin's tits. Mace, you start.
Seriously, if you're trying to still make a big deal out of a nip slip on television, you need to get a life and get laid, you pathetic, pathetic human being.
Omega.
Janet Jackson wants her gimmick back.
There you go. I say more nipples on TV and less uptightness about it. Okay, moving on. It's time now for the Great Debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the host as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the man, the Stone Cold Sexton.
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
So your Great Debate this week is Brock Lesnar versus Stone Cold Steve Austin Omega.
I'm sorry, may you just show me a picture that destroyed my brain?
Alright, so Mace, yes. You're up first.
We're doing Brock and Austin, yeah?
Yeah.
Austin.
Why?
Putting the belt on Austin created the Attitude Era. It helped create one of the greatest boom periods in wrestling. Brock getting a belt was just, here, Brock, go smash things. He just has a pretty shiny around his waist.
Okay, Omega.
Austin.
Why?
Austin.
Okay, Tim.
Austin.
Why?
Lesnar.
Given the matchup, these are perfectly acceptable answers.
Such great insight here on this week's Great Debate. Just pointing
out. Well, come on. Austin McMahon feud. Boss versus employee. Stone Cold, fuck you. Attitude Era. Beer shower. Beer truck. Steve Weiser's.
Monster truck.
Monster? Ooh, hey. ATV. Four-wheeler.
Anyway, Steve Austin.
And Austin 316.
Anyway, Steve Austin.
You asked for it.
I did. Steve
it's
Austin
your fault.
Moves on. Up next, Hulk Hogan, Sheamus, Mace.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, Hogan. Because, brother.
Come on, it's Hogan and Sheamus. Who do you think we're going to fucking pick? This was a non-contest. It's going to be Hogan. I don't think I can really find a reason to put Sheamus over.
Omega put Sheamus over.
No.
Yes.
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 No.
Fuck. You know, it works when Bugs Bunny does it. Fuck you guys.
You're not Bugs fucking Bunny, okay? Get over it.
I'm a genius, YouTube tell me so. No, it's Hogan because Beaker makes a bad champion.
At least that was a creative answer. Tim.
Hogan, brother. Cuz, brother. Mainstream, brother.
Omega wins for creativity.
Well, of course, I don't give a fuck, cuz whatever.
So, yeah, there's this week's thrilling Great Debate.
Oh, it was thrilling. It was so exciting. It was off the hook.
As we compete for the shortest possible answers we could give.
Mm-hmm. As Tim becomes an old Jewish lady.
I'm feeling a little bit clumped. Talk amongst yourselves a while.
Next week it's Bruno Sammartino versus Bret Hart and The Undertaker versus JBL.
Ooh, Bruno Hart.
One of those is actually good.
And you'll decide next week.
Yay! Moving on now, it's your quick hits thing.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
As we've sort of lost Mace for the moment.
No, he knew quick hits is coming up, so he hung up.
Alright, so we'll start with you, Tim.
Fuck me and my big mouth.
Well, we're not going to start with Omega, so, yeah. If Richard Simmons got tangled in his workout mat, would it be a fruit roll-up?
I have to go with a big fat yes on this one.
Oh, God.
Explain why.
Because he's gay and he's all rolled up in the mat. I mean, like, okay, it's quick, it's Great Debate all over again. Because it's Richard fucking Simmons, that's why.
Okay. Since we don't have Mace, we're going back to Omega. Omega, if you were a pizza topping, what topping would you be and why?
I'm going to go with pepperoni.
Why?
Because if you put anything else on your pizza, you're wrong.
Fuck you, you elitist snob.
Hey, I represent the people's pepperoni, okay?
I'm not
people's
even
pepperoni?
Gonna know.
Really? Explain this one. How do you represent the people's pepperoni?
Not an elitist snob.
Oh.
I am a sausage of the people, Rock.
And clip! Fuck, Omega, I thought you knew better by now.
He did, because there's music in the background.
Uh-huh. That can be weeded out if you know what you're doing.
Exactly. Okay, go back to you, Tim, since we're going to wait for Mace. In realistic values, Tim, what is your soul actually worth?
It's not measurable because, I'm sorry, you can't prove to me that it exists, and so there.
Now,
or do you mean mine personally? What, $1 million?
No, realistic value, Tim. Realistic. What is your soul actually worth?
I wouldn't be able to put a value on a soul because...
You've already sold yours?
I don't believe that there should be a value placed on one.
Omega, you had a point?
No, not really.
Okay. Sound like you were trying to chime in there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to go back-to-back to Mace, since he missed his first one. We're going to give it to him now. Mace, if Kevin Bacon is ever caught outside during a blizzard, would his core temperature be 6 degrees?
outside during a blizzard? It's possible.
It's possible?
It's possible.
And the second one to you, Mace. If Hitler was alive today and had his own hotel, would he charge for Wi-Fi?
Only the Jews.
No, Jews pay double.
Okay.
And they only get the special rooms in the basement.
Rock won't like that.
Hey, he just doesn't tell them when he's fumigating.
Aww.
Wow, Mace. Wow.
Boom. He dropped that bomb.
Are you just making up for not being with us at Car Game Saturday night?
Pretty much.
Which was a hell of a time that, if you missed it.
Blame
wow.
the Jews.
I missed it.
It was tremendous. We had a special guest.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try and dig up the archive of that.
Anyway, Omega, do midgets resent the concept of shorts?
I've seen midgets wear shorts, so I don't think so.
No?
No.
No?
No.
Not at all?
Midgets get hot, too. They have the right to bare legs.
Okay, then. Well, that's quick hits.
And that means we're done another WTR Sunday night, about 10.5 minutes earlier than the absolute minimum we usually aim for. But that's awesome. That's good. I just want to tell everybody, as of right now, tentatively, Canadian All Pro Wrestling Presents Saddle Up is a go. Again, that's tentative. Things will be more definite this Tuesday. And for all of those of you listening in the Calgary area, and I know there's a few that listen live and a lot more that listen to the archive, pay attention to Facebook. Go to the events page Tuesday afternoon. It will be posted there. And, of course, I'll start spamming it all over Facebook everywhere. As soon as we can confirm it one way or the other. But as of right now, it looks like it's a go. Monday night, join Sorokin and a whole bunch of other people talking about Raw on the Raw Post Show.
Yeah, join me and Lindsay, because that's who it usually is, and probably.
That's a whole bunch of other people, man.
A whole bunch. Lindsay's a whole bunch.
I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah,
one.
You probably will. 11:30.
You call me fat? Well, you know, you are from the South. Anyway, nope.
Wow.
I went there. I'm sorry.
admin@wildtalkradio.com.
Yeah, there you go.
What's next, Tim?
I kind of sort of lost my train of thought after figuring out how much shit I'm going to get into from Lindsay. Tuesday night, Alan Wojcik and his show, and the highlight definitely is him actually picking out, like, music to make it a music-themed thing. But apparently he also interviews people.
And he has a name of a show, or it's just Alan Wojcik and his show?
It might as well be just Alan Wojcik and his show. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Okay, Tim, keep going.
There you go. Wednesday night, Cheap Heat Radio. Sometimes they show up and do stuff at like 8:30 Eastern.
There you go, keep going.
Thursday night is the award-winning Best New Show of the Year, The Rock, with your host, Lindsay Ward. Lindsay, I apologize sincerely. I didn't mean anything I said, and if anybody was offended, I apologize profusely. It was not my intent to offend anybody, and I feel really bad, and I'm sorry now. But The Rock is 11 o'clock Eastern.
Visit rockradioshow.com and go back and listen to our interview with Showtime, Eric Young.
Yeah, Friday. Maybe something happens. You never know. Mace, are you doing anything?
Didn't we already discuss that with him already?
His net is shit, and he'll tell us after off the air. Okay, Saturday night, midnight-ish. We're as close as they can get to it. Another episode of CB Radio. Last week, they paid attention to Rock trying not to pull his hair out after spending 5 hours on the new server.
About 7 or 8.
Okay.
And we talked about Buttman. So go.
Talked
get
about Buttman?
Mm-hmm. Buttman. He's a porn star.
God. Okay.
So,
shock.
Go check that out. And, you know, we probably usually play Cards Against Humanity right before it, around, like,
well, whoa. This Saturday night, instead of playing Cards Against Humanity, you might be, you, Mace, Omega, Lindsay, whoever else, might be busy. And that's all I'm going to tell you. Wink, wink.
Yeah, we'll see about that one.
Yeah, because. And I'll tell you why off the air. Next Sunday night, another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at our scheduled time and, of course, on the scheduled network. So, everybody, thanks for joining. See you later. Bye. Go away.
Wow, you tell our listeners to go away. That's...
No, don't go away. Stick around. Have a great time. Nobody else will be here. We won't be broadcasting sweet shit, but we'd love you to stay on the website all night long.
Here it is.
Before you do anything, please do us a big, huge favor, everybody. We've got server costs to pay, and you can help out without taking one thin dime out of your own pocket. All you got to do, click the Google ads all over the site. Like, click the fuck out of these goddamn things. You click it 10 times, and all of a sudden, we get paid $5 to go towards server costs. We're about to get paid out as of July 1st, and that will cover server costs for the month of July. If we can continue to get people to click the Google ads, a minimum, all of you, clicking it at least one Google ad one time. That's all we need every day that you come to the website. And we want you to come to the website at least once a day. We would be much appreciated. Go ahead, Rock.
What, I can actually close out the show now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bye, everybody.
That was it? Oh, my God, you're one.
Tim, I do the plugs every single day. You could have actually did all the plugs once.
What do you want, a cookie?
Yes, a few. Be very much appreciated.
Well, I got a coupon for free cookies, but you have to sign up for a credit card.
Of course you have the coupon.
Because it gets me free cookies.
Because you're a Jew.
You're a Jew! Shut up!
So are you.
Jew, I'm not a Jew.
Yes, you are.
End the show, you're cute. WildTalkRadio.com.